Morning. Today's daf and bakamas chaf zayin. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf is on the sechon ishmas libig arvila bashmo. We are on chaf vav amid aleph. We're on the bottom. We're at the mishnah. This mishnah will be our final mishnah before we begin the next parak. It begins now with the nezek of adam. Going all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, so the Mishnah introduced us on Dav Beis Amud Aleph in Baba Kama, the idea that there are four different types of nezikin. Now, there's machlokas on Maharim exactly what are the definitions of the dal nezikin, but we're all in agreement that basically there's your property doing damage, and then there's you doing damage. Now, as far as your property doing damage is concerned, so we broke it up into many different categories. We talked about your animals doing damage, how your animal does damage, Shane Regal versus Karen. Talk about your a pit or any obstacle that you make does damage, and versus Rabin. We talk about a fire that you started doing damage, whether a fire actually is an asset, it's a monetary damage, or is it considered a U issue. That's Machlokes Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. But basically, we talked about your property doing damage. Then, what we're starting now in this mission, Chavav and Aleph, is the last mission, the second parak of Baba Kama. But now what we're going to be discussing is you doing damage. If you're doing damage, so now the rules of damages are going to be much more expansive. Meaning the basic concept is that when you do damage, you're going to be liable under, I would say, almost all circumstances. There are going to be a couple of notable exceptions, and then the question amongst the Rishonim is that can we create a category around that? But basically, you are going to be responsible for all the actions that you do, meaning not your property, but you, and therefore you're going to have a basic liability for all damages that are incurred as a result of you. Let's see this inside the Mishnah. The Mishnah encapsulates this very succinctly. The Mishnah says, Adam Muad La'olam. That's the basic rule. A person is a Muad. Meaning, the Gemara is basically borrowing the term that we had regarding an animal. An animal, when it does damage with Karen, with its horn, and it gores somebody. So we know that the animal does not have a dispensation to do that. It is not predisposed to do that. So when the animal does it, first time, second time, maybe third time, so it wasn't expected, so therefore you only pay half damages. When a person does any damages whatsoever, by himself, meaning with his own hands, so therefore he's going to have an assumption that he is predisposed to do that, and therefore is going to be liable for those actions. Adam Ulaolam, a person is always going to be liable. And the Mishnah goes on to say, Ben Shogi, Ben Meiz, it doesn't matter if it was unintentional or if it was intentional, Ben Er, Ben Yashan. Doesn't matter if he was asleep, doesn't matter if he was awake. In terms of translation, the other way around. Doesn't matter if he was awake, doesn't matter if he was asleep. A person blinds his friend. A person breaks his friend's kelim. Misham nezek shalom. You have to pay full damages. The simple point the Mishnah is trying to communicate is, it doesn't matter if I damage somebody's body or if I damage a person's money. Meaning, in the regards to me doing damages, I'm always going to be liable, and it doesn't matter what the victim is. The victim could be another person. The victim could be another person's possessions. I'm always going to be responsible. I'm always going to be liable for the damage that's incurred by me. Okay. One of the big topics of discussion, which the Gemara does not discuss, however, it is worthwhile noting here in the Mishnah, and you're going to see clues and hints over the course of this morning, is what if something happens ones? Something that was totally unforeseen, something where it wasn't, unlike shogeg, shogeg means I just wasn't careful enough. But basically, you know, I rammed into the guy in front of me. Okay, hard to call that ones. Maybe you can come up with circumstances where we can call that an ones. But generally speaking, I just wasn't careful enough. In the world that we live in, with our cell phones and our love for looking at our cell phone, so you can easily understand shogeg. Shogeg means I shouldn't have been looking at my cell phone. I was, and then you know I hit the person in front of me. Okay, that's the so that's shogeg. Well, what is not discussed blatantly in the Gemara is the case of ones, where it was something where I damaged somebody, I damaged somebody's property, but it was really circumstances well beyond my control. Will I be liable for those circumstances? So, succinctly put, it's a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos of the opinion that you're pater from ones gamur. The Ramban disagrees. He says that you're still chayv even in the case of ones gamur. Anyway, I bring it up now. You'll see there are going to be gemaras coming up ahead, which seem to indicate one way or another in terms of ones gamur. But that's the real extreme. But the broad category of Adam is that a person is going to be liable for any damages that's incurred by the person. Now, so the Gemara notes, however, that the Mishnah put together side by side two cases. One, where I blind my friend's eye. Two, I break his kli. The Gemara over here makes an incidental point, and that's the following. I mean, incidental. It's not incidental, but it's the reason why the Mishnah put these two cases side by side. When I break my friend's kli, so the only thing I pay is damages, meaning whatever I broke, that's what I pay. That's tashlumim. That's making remuneration on the damages that I've done. When I blind somebody's eye, when I do bodily damage to somebody else, so we're going to get to the 8th parak of Baba Kama eventually, and in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, we're going to learn together that there are actually 5 distinct payments that a person has to pay when doing damage to another person, aside from the nezek, aside from the depreciated value of the person. And we'll talk later on about how to assess that depreciation. But aside from the depreciation value, you have to pay for, let's see if I could do this. Sorry, you have to pay for pain. The Gemara is in Baba Kama. The 8th parak of Baba Kama is going to talk in somewhat more detail in terms of how to assess all these damages. But you're going to pay for the pain, the tsar. You're going to pay for the ripui, the medical bills. You're going to pay for sheves, disability, and boshas. And you're going to pay for the embarrassment suffered as well. So these are the additional payments that you pay in addition to Nezek. Okay. What the Gemara now is teaching us is that the reason why our Mishnah is talking about breaking a kli and blinding somebody's eye, is a bodily damage. However, when you do it unintentionally, you don't pay the additional 4 payments. You only pay the nezek, but not the additional 4 payments. Take a look at the last Rashi on the page. Rashi writes, "Lo mechayv arba dvarim, ela o mezid o karv lemezid." The only time that I pay the additional 4 payments when afflicting somebody else with bodily damage is only when I do so intentionally or something that is awfully close to intentionally. So demi dechi yirivun anashim dahasam ksiv ripui v'sheves. The source Rashi quotes is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where there the Torah talks about a fight that takes place between two people. There was clearly intent to injure the other person. Excuse me. When there's intent to injure the other person, then you pay nezek plus the other 4 payments. However, if there was no intent to injure the other person, so you have to pay for nezek because adamu la'olam, but you don't pay for the other 4 payments because you only pay for them in the case of intent. Minani mili. Negligence is shogig. Yeah. I'm sorry, if it's gross negligence, so then you're mazik. So then maybe you would put that under the category of karv lemezid. But if you're just okay. Alright. In other words, for sure nezek, for sure the damages, and then after that, okay, fair question. Minah hani mila, the Gemara says, how do I know? We're now on the top of Chavav and Beis. The Gemara wants to cite a source for this. The Gemara wants to know that you are chayav for nezek even if you damage it b'shogeg. So the Gemara says, v'chein, I'm sorry, Amr Chizkia v'chein tana debei Chizkia. So Chizkia taught it. It also was taught in the Brace as well. Petza tachas patza. The Torah says that you have to pay wound for a wound. In other words, l'chayvo ala shogeg kamezit v'al ones karatzon. So it doesn't matter how the wound was afflicted. The wound was afflicted by shogeg. The wound was afflicted by ones. Doesn't matter. The point is that if you wound somebody else, you must pay for those damages. Haimi bai lelitein sar mebakom nezik. The Gemara says, yeah. But when we get to the 8th parak, we're going to see together that the pasuk was already teaching us another halacha, which is the following. Let's say you hurt somebody, you harm somebody, you injure somebody, and also the person suffered pain as well. Later on, the Gemara is going to entertain a thought, it's a havamina, that if there's pain and then you're making a payment for pain, so then you're going to be exempt from having to pay for the nezek. And what we're going to learn later on, and it's based on this drasha, is that no, you pay for both. You pay for the pain. Again, there's a way to assess that. You pay for the pain, and you're also going to pay for the nezek as well. You're going to pay for the depreciated value of the damages that you've caused. So the Gemara says, and we learn that based on this drasha. So the question is very simple. Once we have used this pasuk for that drasha, so you can't double dip. You can't use the same phrase in a pasuk to teach us two drashas. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So the Gemara says the word tachas is superfluous. The Torah could have just simply said wound for a wound. My tachas petzah shma min hatartus. So the Gemara says, so it comes to teach us 2 points. Number one is that you pay for pain, and if there's nezik, you pay for nezik as well. Number two is our point over here, that a person has liability for the bodily damage that he causes, even if he does so b'shogeg. Next, Amar Rabbi Haisa, Evan Munechazo Becheko. A person had a stone in his lap, Velo Hiker Ba, and he didn't realize that the stone was in his lap. Generally speaking, when you have repeated neural stimulation, so basically the nerve shut down. Okay, just a simple biological explanation. In other words, we forget the, I'm looking for my glasses, while meanwhile the glasses are on my head. Okay, and these are things that we just simply become unaware of. So the Gemara says, Hiker Ba, so I'm sorry, so you had a stone in your lap, obviously it was placed there, could be you the one who placed it there, but it comes to a certain point in time where you didn't even know it was there. V'amad v'nafla, so then you stand up, the stone rolls off your lap, and then it does damage. So now, what kind of liability are we talking about? So as far as depreciated value of whatever the stone damages, so you're going to be chayav. Again, adam muad la'olam. A person is always going to be liable. So this, the damages that occur, even though they were unintended consequences, adam muad la'olam. As I mentioned in the Mishnah, this would seem to indicate, and again, it's a machlokas rishonim. So we're not going to have anything definitively in the Gemara stating this, but this would seem to indicate that you're chayiv even the case of ones, meaning this. Okay, I guess you can quibble over this point, whether this is a case of shogeg or whether this is a case of ones. But you certainly, you didn't even know at that point when you were standing up that the stone was in your lap, and you stood up and the stone fell. Okay, either way, you're going to be liable for the damages that the stone occurs, that is accomplished by the stone. Le'inyan arba dvarim pater. At terms of the additional four payments, so you're going to be exempt, as we learned just a moment ago. Those additional four payments are only going to be incurred only if you had intent to harm somebody else. If you didn't have intent to harm somebody else, you only pay nezik, not the dal dvarim. Le'inyan Shabbos malachas mechshavas sasra Torah. As far as Shabbos is concerned, so this will not incur a liability legab Shabbos. Why not? Because we know by Shabbos, you're only liable for Shabbos, you only violate Melech Shabbos if you were intent on violating Melech Shabbos. We know one of the guiding and fundamental principles of Shabbos is Melech Machshavas. That there, the act, in order to be a violation of Shabbos, has to be intentional. It has to be by design. Over here, whatever, let's say the stone rolled more than 4 amos in the Rishus HaRabim. You had no intention to do so. You're not going to violate Shabbos. That's not a violation of Shabbos. Le'inyan Galus Pater. In terms of being sent into exile, meaning, let's say this stone somehow was responsible for the death of somebody, and now it is Misa. And so it is obviously you weren't intending on killing somebody. So the Rashi over here sets up a scenario. Let's say someone trips over the stone after it rolled off of you and that person died. So the So you're not going to be sent into exile. Why not? Meaning, isn't this, in other words, exiles in the case of shogeg? So Rashi over here writes, the reason why you're not going to be sent into exile, I'm reading Rashi inside, Linyan Galus, he writes, Kigon, enough, Allah Adam Omeis Pater, Digabe Galus, Tziv Maka Nefesh Bishkaga, Volo Mikre Shkaga, So Rashi over here says that you never knew the stone was on your lap. So contrary to the way I set up the case where I suggested you put the stone on your lap and you forgot about it, here Rashi says no, that's not the way to understand the case. The way to understand the case is you put the stone on your lap. The stone was placed on your lap. You didn't even know the stone was there. So under those circumstances, you're not going to go to Galus. Now, Le'inyan Evan. Now, what if the stone falls on your Eved and takes out one of his extremities? We know that, we saw this in Gittin time and again, that if you damage your own Eved Kenani, so he's Yatzalachinam, he goes free. So, even though this was an unintended consequence, you didn't mean for this to happen. So, is your ever going to go free? So the Gemara says, "Pluk to the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan." On this very point, to Machlokas Tanaim. To Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brayta, "Rishai Rabba Rofe va'Amar Lo Chol Eini V'Sima." chator li shinai vipila. So let's say the owner of this Eved Kenani is a physician. And the Eved Kenani says, look, I'm not going to anyone else. In other words, you're my owner and you're also a physician. So go ahead and treat me. And in the course of treatment, okay, it happens. So he got blinded. The owner blinded his Eved Kenani during treatment or knocked out a tooth. It happens. So the Gemara says, Sichek ba'adam v'yatzal cheres. So according to the Tanakama, so, okay, the owner knocked out one of the extremities of his Eved Kenani, and therefore the Eved Kenani goes free. And even though the owner did so not out of malice, but just the opposite, out of an interest in helping him, and just these things happen. And the tooth got knocked out and the eye got blinded. It's most unfortunate. But it certainly wasn't intentional. According to the Tanakama, it doesn't matter. The Zeved Kenani goes free because he knocked out an extremity. And according to Shimon Gamliel, no. The only time the Eved Kenani goes free is if there was malice intent. Only when the owner wanted to, out of malice, take out one of the extremities of his Eved Kenani. He was abusing his Eved Kenani. But in this case where his intent was to help him, and then just through the course of medical practice, with the best of intentions, he knocked out a tooth, he knocked out an eye, so his Eved Kenani is not going to go free. So, machlokes tanaim on this last case. Now, moving along, hikir bav. Vishachacha, the Amar Vinafla. Okay, this is where I misspoke previously. The previous case was, you didn't even know the stone was on your lap. You never even knew. Somehow it got there, you don't know how it got there. In this particular case, so it's just a slight modification. The stone was there on your lap. You put it there on your lap, but then you forgot about it. Now, most of the halachas are going to be the same. Linyan nizik and chayiv. So again, for the damages that are incurred, you're going to be chayiv because again, adamu la'olam. Linyan dal dvarim potter. In terms of the additional four payments, if this stone goes ahead and damages somebody, so you're not going to pay the additional four payments because again, this doesn't change as well because the halach is those dal dvarim, the four additional payments are only when you have intent to harm somebody. Linyan galas chayiv. As far as being sent into exile, this is where it's going to be different. Now the person's going to be sent into exile. He unintentionally killed another person, and he knew the stone was on his lap. He just forgot about it. This is a classic case of shogeg. I'm sorry. Here he had a yedia. Le'inyan Shabbos Pater. As far as violating Shabbos, again, this is unintended. Maleches Machsheves. So for Shabbos, is going to be exempt. Le'inyan Eved Plotir Roshim Gamliel V'Rabbanan. In terms of your Eved Kenani going free, once again, a debate between Roshim Gamliel and the Chachamim, again, contingent on, I knocked out an extremity of my Eved Kenani, but I did so without malice and without bad intent. So we just learned, it's the machlokas. So truth of the matter is, the only thing that changes over here is the case of being sent into exile. Nitzkav lezok shtayim v'zarek arba. Let's say your intention was to throw the stone two amos, and it went four amos. You didn't realize how good an arm you had. But your intention was only to throw two amos. So now, remember, for Shabbos, in order to be in violation of Shabbos, you have to throw an item in Rishus HaRabim a distance of four amos. Throwing it less than four amos is not a malachas Shabbos. Question of whether or not it's an Issa D'Rabbanan or not, but it's not a violation of Shabbos. So, your intent was only to throw two amos, and it traveled four amos. So, le'inyan nezik and chayv, so once again, as far as nezik is concerned, you're always going to be liable. Remember, that's going to be the rule. For Nezek, for the damages that you occurred, even though they were unintended consequences of your action, you're going to be chayv because you threw the stone. Now, as far as the addition, let's say the stone went ahead and hit somebody and caused bodily damage to another person, you're going to be exempt because, again, the dal dvarim is only when you had intent to do so. Here you did not. As far as Shabbos is concerned, you're not going to be in violation of Shabbos, even though the stone traveled four amos, but that was not your intention. Therefore, you're not going to be liable for Shabbos. So as far as being sent into exile, your intent was to throw the stone only two amos. The stone traveled four amos and hit and killed someone. Certainly unintentional. So here, are you going to be sent into galus? So the Gemara says, Asher lo tzada amar rachmano. So the Torah says, in terms of being sent into galus, you were not ambushing the other person. This was not a premeditated act. So excluded in this case is where your intention was to throw it to Amos, and it went in for, and it went for Amos. Now, what does that mean? So, if you take a look at Rashi, Linyan Galus, Rashi writes, Chayev. Rashi says you're going to be liable. So, this is certainly not going to be this is not going to be intentional murder. Ella b'toras v'samti l'chamakum v'gomer. Rather, this is going to be considered unintentional murder. But still, what's the consequence of unintentional murder? You're sent into exile. That is one pshat that Rashi says in the Gemara. So Rashi's first pshat in the Gemara over here, where your intent was to throw the stone to Amos and it traveled for Amos and it killed somebody, is that you're going to be sent into Galus. That's the Gemara's point. Lishna achrina. But then as you read on in Rashi, Rashi gives a second pshat in the Gemara, which is just the opposite. You're going to be exempt from exile. The hachi mashmi shalot sida shalon is kavein litzadeid v'lizrok etzlo, because you really didn't even intend for the stone to reach him. So yanus prat lizesh shitzida. So therefore, you are not going to be sent into exile. So here in this, even though the Gemara says something definitive, but Rashi is unclear what the definitive statement of the Gemara was. Does it mean that you're going to be sent into exile or not? Rashi's first pshat, you are going to be sent into exile. Rashi's second pshat, you're not. Okay.
Exile
Irmikla, yeah. Yeah, correct. So, Pralas Kavan Lazorok Shem Vizar, I'm sorry. Dadle Inyan. Sorry. Now, what about your Eved Kanani going free? Now the case is the same. You threw the stone, you intended to throw the stone to Amos, it went for Amos, it hit your Eved Kanani. So this was a case where you knocked out an extremity of your Eved Kanani, but you were unintended. You had there was no malice and intent. It happened, but not because you wanted it to happen. So once again, plug to the Rav Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, we're going to go back to the machlokas that we saw previously. Niskaven lizrok arba v'zarok shmona. Next case. You were throwing a stone 4 amos and it landed 8 amos away. Okay, you don't know your own strength. Now, le'inyan nizik and chayev. So again, for the damages that occurred, you're going to be chayev. Le'inyan dal dvarim potter, for the four additional payments of bodily damage, you're going to be exempt. Le'inyan shabbos, ba'omer kol makom she'tirtza tanuach ein lo in ilo lo. Now, in terms of shabbos, here it gets interesting. Now, your intention was to throw 4 amos. Okay, and that means you were intending to do a malacha, but now the item landed 8 amos away. So, if you were not particular about the place in which it was going to land, you just wanted it to go more than 4 amos, so then you're going to be chayef. However, says the Gemara, if let's say you threw it 4 amos, and you wanted it to land specifically 4 amos away, and it landed 8 amos away, and that's not what you wanted. For Shabbos, even though, it's interesting, even though you were intent on violating Shabbos, and even though it did travel 4 amos, but then it also traveled another 4 amos, so you're going to be potter. Why? Because for Shabbos, meleches machsheves. The only time that I'm in violation of Shabbos is where I accomplish exactly what I wanted to accomplish. Here, because I was not accomplishing exactly what I want to accomplish, even though what I did want to accomplish was still a chi of Shabbos, nevertheless, I'm going to be exempt from Shabbos. Now, as far as galus is concerned, the Torah says that you were not intent on ambushing. That excludes niskavin. Again, what's the Gemara's point over here? So go back to the Rashi that we just read together, where Rashi offers his 2 pshatim. Either you are going to be sent to the galus, or you're not going to be sent to the galus. That was the end of the phrase. Linyan Eved. Now your Eved Kanani, you knocked down extremity of your Eved Kanani. This is not going to change. Pluk the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. This is subject to a debate. Okay. Amar Rabba Zarekli Mirosh Agagu va'achir v'shibro b'makel. We have touched on this case before in Tosfos. Now we're seeing the Gemara together. Somebody drops a kli off the top of the roof. There is something called gravity. Newton gets credit for discovering it, although it was there even before he discovered it. But that's neither here nor there. The same thing with America and Columbus. There's certain things I don't understand why they're called discoveries. So the, but anyway, yeah, correct, right. Somehow we're celebrating his discovery. Okay, anyway, let's move on. So the uva acher v'shivro. So there's this thing called gravity, and gravity now is going to keep pushing that kli down in a downward motion. And you know how it works. Now gravity is a force, and that means that as the kli hits the ground, it's going to break. Now you're sitting there on the floor with a bat, and you are winding up, and you're giving it. You're going to give it your best shot. Not only are you going to give it your best shot, you actually did give it your best shot, and you broke the kli prior to hitting the ground. So we've discussed this before. So you with the stick on the floor are going to be potter. You're going to be exempt. My taima, mana tavar tavar. Because what did you break? You broke a broken kli. Now, even though at the time when you broke it, it wasn't broken, but destiny is calling. And here, you don't have to be the biggest forecaster in the world to realize that the kli is going to break. Now, there could be something heroic in measure that's going to save it from breaking, but most likely, most probably not. Most probably what's going to happen is that it is going to break. And the destiny is so obvious that the Gemara describes the kli descending as a broken kli. So therefore, even though you, ben maisa, in action, you're breaking the kli with that baseball bat as it's about to hit the floor, nevertheless, we say, mana tava tava, you broke a broken kli. V'amarabba. Remember, Tosos earlier had such a fascinating discussion. He discussed what would be the halacha if you dropped a stone off the roof and the kli is on the ground. The stone is about to hit the kli, but before doing so, you take a bat to that kli and you break the kli that was on the ground. Tosos says the cases are different, absolutely different. And we went on to discuss already previously within the Tosfos why the cases are different. But we're going to continue. Amar Rabba. Zarkli Mirosh Agag Vayu Tachtav Karim Uksasos. Let's say you throw a kli off the top of the roof and below there were pillows. So in other words, now the kli is going to enjoy a cushioned fall and probably not going to break. Ba'achar V'salko O'kadam V'salkan. So let's say somebody comes along and somebody removes the pillows. So that person is going to be putter. The person is going to be putter. Wait, hold on one second. So the person is going to be putter. My time will be idna deshaja psuke mifsa geri. Because at the time when it was thrown, so basically stop the arrows from going. Take a look at Rashi over here, the last Rashi in the Amud, and Rashi goes on to explain. Pater, sharei mizrika so ein sofer li shaber achi not lamakarim. Because over here, when the kli was thrown off the roof, so the destiny was not that it was going to break. In fact, it was going to experience a cushion falling. Vizeshen natal hakarim veafilu hazorik asmar natlan pater degrama benizikin have. So the person who removes the pillow, and even if the one who threw it himself removed the pillow, so this is what's called an halacha grama, meaning. We've said this time and again, but it just bears repeating. It's one of the most basic topics. It's one of the biggest themes that we're experiencing in the first number of Prakim in Baba Kama. And that is, you're only liable for damage if you physically do the damage with your hands. But if you do something which will generate the damage, but you didn't do the damage itself, so you're not going to be liable. So when the kalim fall down, so the person on the top of the roof is not going to be liable because when he threw it down, so it wasn't going to break. You had cushioning on the bottom. The person who removed the cushion is going to be exempt. Why? Because he didn't physically do the damage with his hands. Now, obviously, he was responsible for the damage to occur. He, because of his actions, enabled the damage to occur. But in terms of chiyuvei nezek, the liability and the obligation to pay for the damages that you do, that's only biyadayim. Now you're going to see over the course of the Masechta, there are going to be occasions throughout the Masechta where even though you didn't physically do the damage with your hands, you're still going to be liable to pay. And that's in halacha what we refer to as garmi. Something between nezek biyadayim versus grama. And then, obviously, the important discussion to have, and the difficult discussion to have, is when is it Garmiyim versus when is it Grama. But over here, for our purposes, let's just say it really simple. This is a case of Grama, and so therefore the Banim is going to be exempt. Wait, be more specific. What case are you comparing this to?
Cell phone with the baseball bat?
No, if you took a bat to the cell phone, was there a cushion on the ground or no?
No. The phone was going to break anyway.
Oh, so the phone was going to break anyway. That's manatavra taver. So that is, the phone's going to break, so then what you're breaking is a broken kli. Here, there were cushions on the floor. So after the item was thrown, the cushion was going to cushion the fall. And you're removing the cushions. So yes, because what you did is going to break the phone, or break whatever the kli is, but you didn't break the kli, and that's what's called grama. Okay. V'amar Rabba, last four lines on the Amud. Zarak Tinok Mirosh Hagad. A horrific case. It's something you really don't even want to think about, but we're learning the halacha together, and we're learning the parameters of halacha. So the child was thrown off the rooftop, and va'achar v'kibla b'sayif. So, and somebody's down and slices the baby with a sword. So now, plukta de Rav Yehuda ben Beseir v'Rabbanan. Now here, the first interesting note is the following. When it comes to a kli, so clearly the Gemara uses the expression of mana tavra tavra, meaning that with the kli, once the kli is falling off and gravity takes its course, so we say that the kli is broken at that point in time, in the case where there are no cushions on the ground. Here, when it comes to the baby, we don't say that. Now, I'll try to say it like this. Unclear why the Gemara doesn't just simply say, well, this is comparable to the case of the kli. So the simplest way, I don't know if it's the simplest, I take it back. One way you could say it is, well, when it comes to the human life, so we're even though we are fragile, but, you know, in other words, it's possible that you could survive the fall, and so therefore you don't say manatavra tavra. Or maybe more fundamentally, what you could say is that we're not talking about nezek right now. We're talking about death, and this is an issue of misa, and so therefore we don't employ the same arguments of mana tavar tavar. Could be. So, but right away, recognize that the Gemara doesn't say mana tavar tavar, and just try to formulate why the Gemara doesn't say that. In the meantime, however, what is the halacha? Pluk de Rav Yehuda ben Beseir v'Rabbanan. So this is subject to a machlokas amongst it tonight. The Tanya will learn on a brisa. He kuasar bnei adam basar makalos bein bavasachas bein bezeacharzeh kulam paturim. Let's say it was a real gang beating, and so you had a group of people, 10 people, all hitting the same person and responsible for his death. So all 10 of them are going to be exempt for misa. Now I'll try to make this as clear as possible. What they did was wrong, heinous. And then whatever other adjectives you would like to add to my list, you may do so. It was terrible. Furthermore, when they meet their maker after 120 years, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have the bookkeeper is going to, you know, is going to have a word with them. But but what we are focusing on right now is corporal punishment and Basin's ability to put the person to death, meaning, is this murder? That's the only issue that we're dealing with. And so, what we are learning together right now is that this does not qualify as murder. According to the Tanakhama, why not? Top Rashi and Chav Zayin Amalaf, Rashi writes, Debi'inan Shiake Kol Nefesh Adam. The Torah says, Kol Ha Nefesh. In order to be liable for murder, you have to be solely responsible for the extermination, for the extinguishing of somebody else's life. If you're doing it in concert with other people, so then as a technicality, you are not going to be tried for murder. So the Inkan Maka Kol Hanefesh Uputurim Mimisa. That is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira Omer Bezeachar Zeachar and Chaya Mimnei Shakir Misaso. And Rav Yehuda ben Beseira disagrees in the following scenario. If the 10 of them are beating him all at the same time, so then Rav Yehuda ben Beseira says, again, as a technicality, they're all going to be exempt from being tried for murder. However, if a circumstance is where the 10 are hitting them one after the other, and it's the final one who gives the final blow, the makeh bepatish. So then the final one can be, assuming you have all the qualifications, will be tried for murder. Why? Cover of misasa, because he was the one ultimately was responsible for the death. Obviously, the other nine contributed to the death, but Rav Yehuda ben Maaseiras says, but in terms of a capital crime with capital punishment, one could try the last person. We're going to start off with the same case, but with one notable difference. You have now the child. I'm sorry. Before moving on to the next case, now let's just reflect back now on what the Gemara was analyzing. The Gemara was analyzing a case where a child was thrown from a roof and someone is on the bottom and slices the child with a knife. So now, what would be, who can be tried for murder according to the Tanna Kamma? Neither. Because they were both contributing parties to the death of the child. And therefore, as a technicality, they're not going to be tried for murder. According to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, the one who hit the child with the knife. Now, obviously, the one who threw from the roof is a contributing factor, but the makeh bepatish, according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, can be tried for murder. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, the one on the ground can be tried for murder. Now, let's move along. So we're going to have the same starting point where the child is thrown from the roof, and then meeting the child before the child hits the ground is going to be the shore owned by somebody, and it's a shore muad, and it gores the child to death. And so now the question is as follows: is there going to be kofar? We know that the Torah imposes a kofar payment when you're shore muad, which means that historically it has killed already three times before, and now it has gored and killed for a fourth time in this very unusual scenario. But is there going to be a payment of kofar? So plukta de Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher of Yochanan ben Broka v'Rabban. This is also subject to a machlokas tonight. Titanya v'Nasan pidyon Asho demei Nizak Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka Omer demei Mazik. Now the Torah says you pay bepidyon nafsho. You have to pay with the redemption of his soul. And you know that when the Torah provides a pronoun, and it's an ambiguous pronoun, well, whose redemption is he paying for? The one who did the act, or in this case, it's the owner of the animal. The owner of the animal, or the victim. So this is subject to machlokas tanaim, whether it's the meinizak or the meimazik. Now, how does that translate in this particular case? So we're going to go with Rashi. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, but we're going to go with Rashi. Rashi writes, it's the fourth line, and Rashi plucked the Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanan, Linyan Kofar. Le Rabbi Shmuel damar Kofar ben Mazik Shaimin Mishalim Kofar. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you base it on the Mazik, so therefore you're going to be paying Kofar. Aval le Rabbanan de Shaimin ben Nizak, but according to the Chachamim, who say that you assess it based on the Nizak, Hai lohave le damim upater. The child at this point in time does not have value. Now, this is going to be interesting and just tricky. Rashi says that as the child is descending downward, so the child has no value. If you subscribe to kofar being assessed by the value of the victim, here the victim is valueless. Now, I understand that what's difficult in Rashi is that just a moment ago, when describing the scenario of the child being thrown off the roof and the guy on the bottom slicing him with a sword, so we said that according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, the guy on the bottom is going to be liable for murder. That would seem to indicate that as the child is descending, the child is still considered a life up until the person on the bottom slices him. So over here, it's a little bit interesting that Rashi says that if you're basing the kofar payment based on the nizak, and since the child is unfortunately en route to hit the ground and die, so therefore the child has no value. How does this line up with what we learned just a moment ago? It's kind of hard to articulate. Perhaps what you can say, and again, this is my suggestion, take it for whatever it's worth. Perhaps what you can suggest is that in terms of life, so we'll say that the child is still alive until the very end. So that's why previously we said that according to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, the person on the floor is going to be liable. However, in terms of value, so even though the child is alive, but we can also at the same time recognize that because of what's about to happen, so therefore even as the child is ascending, the child becomes valueless, meaning no market value. maybe something, you'll say something along those lines. Amar Rabba Nafal Merosh Agag V'nitka B'isha Chayev B'dal Dvarim. A most unusual circumstance. But the Gemara describes a scenario where a man falls off a roof, lands on a woman, and has unintended relations with that woman. So, V'nitka B'isha Chayev B'dal Dvarim. So, he's going to be Chayev, and he's also going to be Chayev in the four payments. Now, earlier we discussed this morning how you're not going to be chayav the four payments if it was an unintended consequence. Over here, it's a most unusual case, but really what's puzzling is that the Gemara says that you're going to be chayav for the additional four payments in addition to whatever nezek you've caused. Rashi over here therefore writes that kugon shenafa beruach mitsui dahavalei karv lemezid. Rashi recognizes this is a problem, and therefore Rashi says you are on the rooftop. It wasn't a strong wind that pushed you off. It was a regular wind. Therefore, this is what's called Karav Lemeziv. Martin, this may address your question that you asked earlier. Right? Meaning, this is, I guess we can call this Poshea. Meaning, you were just simply negligent. You were walking on the rooftop. And again, it's just most unusual scenario, but you walk on the rooftop and you fell off the roof and it wasn't anything that pushed you off. It was just your own negligent behavior that resulted in this. And under these circumstances, Rashi describes this as being karov lemezid, and therefore, not only do you have to pay the nezek, you have to pay the four damages as well. Uvi yavimta lo kana. Now, let's say, again, this is so highly unusual, we're really discussing this from a conceptual standpoint. This is not going to realize itself as a real case. But let's say the woman in question who was on the floor also happened to have been your Yavama. Remember the Gemara in the sixth parak of Yavamos. I know that was a long time ago. But they remember the Gemara in the sixth parak of Yavamos, where there we learned, and Rashi quotes it, Habal Yavento Ben Bishoge Ben Memezikana. So if that man has relations with his Yavama, meaning that his brother died, left his sister-in-law childless, and the surviving brother has relations with his sister-in-law, and the Mishnah in the beginning of the sixth parak of Yavama says whether it was Bishogeg, whether it was Bemezid, there's a kinyan. So Rashi basically is trying to he's scratching his head, he's wondering, well, after learning that Mishnah over there, why over here in our most unusual circumstance is it not going to work by Yavama? So Rashi writes, Hani Mili, I'm reading Rashi. Hani Mili Hechad in his Kavan Labias Isha Acheres. Avalzelo in his Kavan Lashum Bia Hilkach Lokana. So Rashi writes that there, at least there was intent for Bia. Just, he didn't realize at the time who the woman was. Here, there wasn't even intent for Bia, so therefore, he's not going to be counted for his Yavama. Rashi then goes on to make another point, which, again, I'm not going to ignore it, but we're just going to skip it for now. Uviyavimta lokana. I'm sorry. Uviyavimta lokana. Lokana chay benezek. Bitzar baripa b'sheves. Avaboshes lo. You're going to be liable for depreciated value for the pain, for the medical bills, for the disability, but you're not going to be obligated to pay for the boshes. As we will see this in the eighth parak, this is going to be a big topic discussed in the eighth parak, and that is that even though there are four additional bodily damage payments, boshes is still going to be different than the other three additional payments. Meaning nezek is depreciated value, you always pay nezek. On top of that, there's also tsar, ripui shevis, the pain, the medical bill, and the disability. Then on top of that, there's also what's called boshes, the embarrassment that suffered. And we will learn later, but the Gemara is making mention of it right now, so we're going to make mention of it right now, is that for the embarrassment, you are only going to be obligated for embarrassment if you had intent to harm the other person. We're going to learn this in the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in the 8th Parak. Ain't no chayv la boshes ashiyim is coming. You're only going to be chayv for boshes only when you intend to harm the other person. Amar Rabba Nafa Merosh Agag Baruch She'eino Mitsuya. Let's say you fall off a rooftop with a most unusual wind. So in other words, it was an uncommon wind that blew you off the rooftop. Vizarak. Oh, I'm sorry. Vihizik ubayish. So now you damage and you embarrass. Chayav al nezek upater b'dal dvarim. So here you're going to pay for the nezek, but you're going to be exempt from paying the dal dvarim, because again, going back to what we said from the beginning of this morning's shiur, for dal dvarim, you're not going to be chayav b'shogeg. You're only going to be chayav on dal dvarim, only if you do so intentionally. Beruch mitzuyah v'hizik u'bayish. Let's say it was a normal wind, and so therefore it was your negligence that caused you to fall off the wind, off the rooftop, and you damaged, and you caused, and you embarrassed. Chayav b'dal dvarim upater l'boshe. So there, you're liable for bodily damage but and the additional payments, but you're not going to be chayv for boshes. Now, as you're falling, you decide, you know what? I'm falling anyway, and I see somebody over there is going to break my fall, and it happens to be that I don't like that person. I know that's a lot to think about while falling, but okay. Listen, you know, hatred is such a power. It's such a powerful impulse. So you know. So even though, despite your falling, but look, that person over there. Oh, I don't like him. So there's now as you're falling. So basically, what you do is you contort and you maneuver your body so that you fall with intent on the person. So now, not only is there gross negligence as you fell off the roof and it was just a regular wind that blew you off. So that was gross negligence. And on top of that, now as you're falling, you're contorting your body because you see who's down there. So now there's intent to harm. So now there's one more thing we're going to add. You're going to, of course, pay for nezek, and you're going to pay the additional bodily damage payments, and you're going to pay for boshes as well. Detanya, we learned in the Braisa. Mimash Meshenemar, Vishocha Yadai, Niodea, Sheikh Zika. Where do we learn boshes in the Torah? It's found in Parshas Kiseitse. The payment of boshes is tucked away in a very short, I think it's one or two psukim. I should have reviewed before the daf. But in Parshas Kiseitse, where there the Torah describes a fight taking place between two men. The wife of one of the two men come in, and she tries to protect her husband. And so she grabs the guy, and she grabs the guy by his masculinity. And right, if you're not familiar with the pasuk, so the Torah says v'kapo says kapa, you cut off her hand. Now we are not fundamentalists. We know that the Torah does not want us to cut off her hand. The Torah wants us to assess the damages that she did. What are the damages that she did? In addition to, if there were any other damages, there's also boshes. There's also the embarrassment. So even though, by the way, her intentions were the best of intentions, but Lamaisa, she damaged and she embarrassed. So therefore, she's going to pay for the embarrassment.
How do you pay for boshes?
The Gemara later on will, again, the eighth parak is where we're going to be discussing the assessment of all these different payments. So just here I won't even say a little bit of patience. Here I'm going to say a lot of patience. The eighth parak starts in the pays, I think, I hope. So, and we're right now in Chaf Zayin. Okay, a lot of patience. So Vishokha Yada Inu Yodesh Shechzika Matam Alamar Vechzika Lamacha. Kevishin is Kavan Lehzik Alpha Pishlan is Kavan Levayish. So over here, what we're learning is the following. You're going to be assessed embarrassment damages if you intend to harm. Even if you did not intend to embarrass. Meaning the threshold of intent in terms of the embarrassment payment is that it doesn't have to be intent to embarrass. As long as you have intent to harm, that hits the threshold where you're going to be assessed with embarrassment payment. Ve'amarabah. We're almost done with the second parak. Hiniach lo gachelas al libo umes. You put a hot coal on a person's heart. Now, the person is not expected to die immediately, but if the person leaves it there, he will die. So, pater. So, you're not going to be tried for murder. Because the victim, and again, I'll just repeat myself because it just, I cannot understate this enough. What you did was terrible and despicable and unforgivable. But you're not, as a technicality, you're not going to be tried for murder. Because again, for murder you have to be solely responsible for the death of the other person. Here, it's only because the victim decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to leave it there. So for that reason, you're not going to be tried for murder.
He's able to do it like
yes. Correct. What we'll learn later on is that if you put a person in a position where he can't get out of it, so then you're going to be tried for murder. So al bigdov in Israf Chayav, let's say you put a coal on his clothing. Where again, if you were to remove the coal, so your beged would maybe be scorched a little bit, but your beggar would have survived. But you decide, you know what, I'll leave it there. So there the person who put it on is going to be chayiv. Why? Because as Rashi points out over here, here the argument could be as follows. Look, that guy... I've had it with that person, and you know what? He literally started the fire. He started burning my clothing. I'm just going to take him to court, right? I'm going to right now try my best to take the coal off and risk burning myself and doing. You know what? Just leave it there. Let my clothing burn. I'm just going to take him to court, and that is a legitimate argument that the victim can make. Amarava Tarvaru Tananihu. Rava says that both these points, although they were stated by an Amora, they're both actually taught to us by Tanayim. Ali bo dinan. So when you put a coal on a person's heart, so we learned the Mishnah. Kavish alav latocha or latocha mayim ve'enu chola alos misham u'meis chayev. If I put somebody in a position of either I put him in a fire or I put him in water and I hold him there where he cannot get out, so then I'm the one responsible for his death. I'm solely responsible for his death, and I'm going to therefore can be tried for murder. Dachvo latocha or latocha mayim ve'yachol alos misham u'meis. If I push him into the fire, if I push him into the water, but in a way in which he could get out, and on his own he made the decision that he's not going to try to get out, so then I'm going to be exempt from being tried for murder. Big do denan. Now what about the next halacha where I put coal on somebody's clothing? So karas ksuso shavas is kadi chayav. I'm sorry. Kara is ksusi. Let me just read it a little bit better, a little bit clearer. Kara is ksusi. Go ahead and tear my clothing. Shava is kadi. Go ahead and break my jug. So chayev. So the person in question is still going to be liable. Amenas liftor pater. However, if we clearly articulate, me and him, that on the condition that I'm going to exempt you, meaning, basically, sign a waiver. So, we do this all the time, right? Anything fun now in this world requires a waiver to be signed. It's my general rule in life, okay? Because we enjoy taking some risks. So anyway, so sign a waiver in doing so. So if you do so, so then the person's going to be putter. So, by Rava, I'm sorry. So that tells us then that unless you sign a waiver, the person who did the act is going to be liable. And so even though you could have saved yourself from having done the act. So let's say you put a hot stone. I lost my vocabulary. Let's say you put a coal on the heart of a person's Eved Kenani. So, mahu, kegufo dami or kemamono dami? Here, how do we assess this? Is this a case of guf or is this a case of mamon? Exactly what does the Gemara's question mean? So again, I'm just going to stick with Rashi. Avdo kegufo dami, Rashi writes. So if we treat the Eved Kenani like a person in this regard, that just like we learned earlier, that if I put a coal on a person's heart and the person had a chance of removing it and he decided not to, I am, as a technicality, not going to be tried for murder. So maybe the same thing could be said regarding the Eved Kenani. So, or the other possibility is no, that we're going to treat him like a monetary asset, in which we know, as we're about to state in just a moment, that if we treat him like a monetary asset, so then I'm going to be liable. And in this case, I will be liable for the death of someone's Eved Kenani. Im tim salama kegufo dami shara mahu. What if then, the Gemara goes one step further, what if my shor were to go ahead and to kill the Eved Kenani of somebody else? So, hadar pashta avda kegufo shara kemamono. So the Gemara says that if I were to place the coal on the Eved Kenani and he doesn't remove it and he didn't have a chance in doing so, we're going to treat him like guf, which means that I'm going to be exempt from being tried for murder. Sharik mamono. But if my shor were to kill him, so we're going to treat that as a monetary asset, and so therefore I'm going to be chayv, meaning the owner of the shor is going to be chayv for the damages that were incurred. Hadron alach, Kate said a regal. That is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. Just a quick refresher. That was a lot of information. I mean, really a lot of information in the last 53 minutes. We started with the Mishnah and Chavav and Aleph talking about Adamur La'olam, a person that's always going to be liable. And so the basic rule that we learned over the course of this morning is that for damages incurred by a person, the person is always going to be liable for all damages that are incurred by him. Bein be'ones, bein b'sharei. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Bein be'ratzon, bein b'shogei. Intentional or unintentional. The only point which is open for discussion is, what if it's onus, what if it's circumstances that were totally beyond his control? Again, the Ramban is of the opinion that a person is always going to be liable. Tosfos. I didn't read the Tosfos inside. Tosfos is coming up on the Chav Zayin Amud Beis, okay, which we'll get to God willing tomorrow. Tosfos says that for onis gamur, you're going to be pater. And then multiple variables today we discussed today in the course of unintentional actions and how it relates to Nezek, Misa, Shabbos, Galus, Evikanani, and many permutations and many distinctions that were made over the course of this morning. Highly recommend. There's so much information. Highly recommend that you review the daf over the course of today. Go over it, go over all the scenarios, and hopefully I'll listen to my own Musar.